welcome to the AFR podcast. It is Sunday, the 17th of March, 2024.
The jury is out.
Steve, we're back for 2024. We already had one little bit of a kickoff podcast. Hopefully everyone has sat down and had a little bit of a listen to that, purely because it will affect everyone, because it was about how we're handling the buys and everything like that. But round one is, as they say, mate, it is in the can. It is done. It is dusted. There's some high scores this week.
Well, that's pretty normal for round one. I know we've already seen some comments from infamous Cameron Baker about how he was feeling a bit hard done by with his low score this week, given the high, but you know, that's just round one though.
Yeah.
For all those who notice, yes, Natas did, the team that was like, you know, up until last year, back-to-back Champions League champions, did the lowest score of the original league this week. It was a pretty, I mean, it was a low score, but it wasn't like a horribly low score. But yeah, there's definitely some big scores. But I've always noticed that with round, like everybody's pumped up and firing, and the weather's normally pretty good. And unless you're playing on the Gold Coast, you're a key forward, not bitter at all. It was maybe a little bit slippery. I'm just crapping on too much now. Go, man. Save me.
All right, well, let's get into it. Let's try and keep this a quickie for the start of the, because we know later on we'll be going for like an hour and a half and stuff like that later on as we get into the gist of this. All right, let's get into it. Round one, start with the original league. Thank you to Dave, who has already done the commissioner votes for the Super League, but we'll start with the original league first. Round one, first game was the Mighty Bucks up against the Heroes. It was a high-scoring game, this one. Bucks got up 195 to the Heroes 175.5. For the Bucks, Roe Bottom got 26, Luke Ryan got 28, Zach Butters got 27, but Wankany Malira getting 21 in the mid was also pretty damn good. For the Heroes, Sarong was absolutely outstanding, getting a lazy 46 touches in the Fremantle game just before. Other than that, his forward line was the Carlton, very, very serviceable, being McKay and Kerno. In terms of the commissioner votes, mate, I've already done them. I gave 3 to Sarong, 2 to Rowbottom, and 1 to Luke Ryan.
Yeah, Luke Ryan is a freak, isn't he? Like, I mean, the Bucks, you'd think the Heroes might have thought they had a sniff with the way Sarong played in the last game this round, but man, Luke Ryan just said, yeah, don't even think about it. And what a grand final replay, though, man. If anyone thought the Bucks maybe got a bit lucky with their finals run last year, they've certainly put that kind of thinking to rest with that massive first round score. And man, room for improvement too. That's the scary part with players like Jack Henry only getting one rebound. I think for all of our sake, I hope Rowbottom and Ryan maybe just ease up a bit. I don't think any of us are going to have a hope in hell if they keep putting up scores like that. I these two teams definitely look like they're going to be there at the pointy end. That's all you can say.
Yes, yes. The next game was the Titans up against Natas. As you alluded to, mate, not one of the highest scores of the round. The Titans got up here, 141 to Natas, 132. For the Titans, Joe Danaher got 32 at key forward. Riley O'Brien got 22.5 at ruck. I suppose Petrarca getting 29 at centre for the Titans. For Natas Adolderers, Took Miller getting 29 at centre, but Flanders and Matt Crouch were probably the two standouts here. Flanders getting 21 at mid, and Crouch getting 20 at Rover. In terms of the commissioner votes, mate, I go 3 to Danaher, 2 to Matt Crouch, and 1 to Riley O'Brien.
Yeah, I mean, the Natas definitely, their backline did not fire like it normally does. I don't think I'd be too worried if I were them. Like, sure, mm-hmm. obviously had a massive game in the opening round, and for whatever reason, it just didn't happen this week. And he's, you know, obviously Flanders is looking great. My issue with Natas is going to, like, that forward line just doesn't look scary anymore. Sorry. And Briggs, I've already talked to Natas about. Yeah, I think, yeah, Reeves is definitely a better option. I think Natas have Reeves. I'm just trying to remember off the top of my head. I think he's definitely looking like a better option. I think Briggs might be a good AFL player for in a ruck sort of situation, but I don't think he's that great from an AFR point of view. The Titans, if they just flipped McCluggage and Wines, their score would have looked a whole lot better. McCluggage much more of a kicker and Wines much more of a handballer, but so I think that's an easy fix there. I'm not too sure what the Titans have in terms of taggers, but Jai Clark was obviously a bit of a Hail Mary, and that just did not work out. Neither of these teams are convincing me at the moment, mate. I don't know about you, but both of them look, I mean, they're not terrible, but I just don't think either of them look super scary at this stage. They look like, you know, they'll win their fair number of games, but I don't know whether either of them, like, the Titans were a team last year that made finals, but were basically, but we kind of knew they weren't really up to it. The Bucks kind of dismissed them straight away in that elimination final. And the Tass, on the other hand, they were the team who missed finals that probably should have got in, but I think that's, you know, they're both kind of middle of the road teams that, you know, maybe had a bit of luck go one way or the other last year, but I don't think either of them are necessarily looking like they've got a lot of improvement in them this year. That's my frank opinion. I don't know. You got any thoughts on that?
Titans might be having a little bit of an uphill battle with Ollie Wines and McCluggage if they're going to, and as you said, Clark, they need more from them. Oliver Henry, I don't know if he's a starting forward. But Natas, we've been saying Natas have got to start falling at some point in time. So maybe, not that I'm saying that this is their fall, but who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, they've missed finals last year, which is already a huge fall for them. And I could easily see Natas making finals this year, but I don't, or the Titans, if, you know, they get a bit of a good run, I just don't see either one as a title threat. Not really, yeah. Well, especially after looking at that first game anyway, but you know.
Fair point.
We'll see, I guess. I don't know, maybe they'll change my mind, but.
Alrighty, next one. And if I sound any different, do I sound any different?
You sound much better. I was going to make a comment, but...
Okay. Yeah, you should have told me before I pressed record, buddy. Microphone, it was using the camera on my... the microphone on my webcam as opposed to the microphone on my headset. All righty. Next game was the Wildcards versus the Scorpions. Yet another close game here. It was the Wildcards getting up 151.5 to the Scorpions 142.5. Wildcards were just simply too strong here. Tom Green getting a lazy 37 at centre. Matt Rowe getting 20 at tagger. We also get Ned Reeves was all right, getting 14 at ruck. But for the Scorpions, quite a consistent spread of points, but their forward line really let them down. Brody Majacek only getting the 3 points obviously didn't help. But also Tim Kelly really not getting much from a centre perspective. A decent game from Kelly would have got the Scorpions over the line here, with Rory Laird getting 20 at tagger, but also Harris Andrews getting a lazy 18 at key back, and McGrath getting 13.5 excuse me at back. Luke Jackson was quite good for the Scorpions at ruck. It will be interesting to see what Fremantle do with Luke Jackson now, because I think they had about 4 or 5 injuries during that game, and one of them looked like a pretty bad hamstring, and another one would look like a knee. So I know they're pretty light with no Darcy. The Dockers, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. Anyway, commissioner votes. I gave 3 to Tom Green, 2 to Rowell, and 1 to Rory Laird.
Yeah, that's. I was thinking Ned Reeves. I'm thinking it must be Nexus that has Reeves. Anyway, I'm remembering now. Natas has Darcy, and that's why that's why Luke Jackson's here for the Scorpions, and that's probably why Natas is cursing a little bit. But listen, the Wild Cards, they did not have the greatest game out of their back line, and Sicily's obviously been rubbed out for a week, so that's going to hurt even more. It looks like Mitch Hinge is not quite going to be the amazing backman that I thought he might be quite good this year.
He was on my list for the draft as well.
Yeah, he had a great finish to last year, but it just four rebounds is not a disgrace, but it's you're hoping for more. Tom Green, I still think the wild cards are looking pretty good overall. Yep. I think they'll be fine. Farrell's obviously had a great debut for the wild cards there as well. So and then Cadman, man, if the Giants can keep up their scoring, Cadman will be he'll be a very good long term player for the wild cards. The Scorpions, man, it's just Tim Kelly, Majacek, too many passengers here. Although McGrath, great game from McGrath, and like you said, from Laird. So I'm not sure the Scorpions are going to make a huge leap up the ladder this year, but the wild cards, I mean, they just always seem to be thereabouts. They haven't quite been able to break through yet. I think they're in the game though. I think they're in the game. They just got to hopefully get Sisley into some better form, and hopefully once he gets back from his suspension.
Yep. Next game was the Chargers versus the Blue Flames here. Chargers got up here 181.5 to the Blue Flames 143.5. Chargers, safe to say it was off the back of our forward line. Jesse Hogan getting 46, Jai Amos getting 25. Also, Rowan Marshall getting 18 at ruck was pretty good. Tanner Braun getting 16 at tagger, but for the Blue Flames, Dylan Williams didn't play, so got a donut there at back. But Patrick Cripps was outstanding, getting 23 at rover. All in all, probably a pretty good lineup here for the Chargers, obviously missing a center. But in terms of commission points, mate, I gave 3 to Hogan, 2 to Cripps, and 1 to Jai Amos.
Yeah, that's a pretty we all know that it doesn't matter what team you are, if you're going to have a player kick 6 goals and maybe get your other forward to kick 4, you're going to be a pretty good chance of getting a win. And is he playing the bottom team? Made for a nice, 181, you would have beaten almost anybody this week. What you say is true. Viney, probably not your go-to center, but man, Tanner Bruin, great debut. Rowan Marshall did very well. A few worries there. Redmond's obviously been rubbed out for the week, so that's not helping, although he didn't play that great anyway. Witherden, you might have been hoping for a bit more from. It's a few problems still. I don't know, but again, Hogan and Amiss, they're both looking like they're far more dependable forwards this year than they probably were last year. So, yeah, man. Onwards and upwards, Chargers. You think you could still probably back off quite a lot and get some wins. So the Blue Flames, I don't know about playing Harley Reid center, but, all power to him to, go for it. Obviously, he's got some great other performers there, and Dunkley and Cripps and Bolt, who I think we're all expecting to be the Himmelberg. She just whacked him in midfield and he picked up a lazy 19. That's pretty nice. You do feel like, though, Lynch and Cameron, it's still a pretty ominous forward line, and you can have some pretty average players elsewhere in your lineup, and Lynch and Cameron can do a bit of a Hogan for you any given week. So you think the Blue Flames are going to be a lot better this year than they were when they basically lost their entire forward line post-premiership. So,
yep.
Those are two interesting teams there, the Chargers and the Blue Flames. I'm not quite sure what to make of them yet.
No, jury's still out. Probably on both of them. I anticipate the Blue Flames having a better season than the Chargers again, but we'll see how things go. The next game was the Dozers versus the Dingoes. Dozers got up here in a very, very close one, 150.5 to the Dingoes, 148. Not the strongest of scores here from the Dozers. It was a bit patchy. Shizzle getting 23 at midfield, and Goulden getting 21 at midfield was probably the standouts for them. For yourself, mate, Dacos getting 37 at centre, Treloar getting 22 at rover, and also Oscar McInerney getting 20 at ruck. But obviously Ben King and Mitch Lewis only combining to getting 8 points certainly didn't help your cause whatsoever. In terms of the commission votes, I gave 3 to Nick Dacos, 2 to Harry Chisel, and 1 to Adam Treloar.
This is a rough result, really. I think both the Dozers and the Dingoes look a bit patchy, and like they've got, you know, Lycosius and Sarah didn't really turn up for the Dozers, but Liberatore and King just really below the belt performances from those two. Who you'd like? I don't know, man. That was a rough one. It was painful because I knew I was going to lose most of the weekend after, you know, Ben King's effort, and yet to get so close. Painful. Anyway, the Dingoes have plenty of, you know, they got Van Ruyen on the bench kicking three. They got Tex Walker to come back. Ben King, I'm sure, will go back to the bench and kick another five goals like he did in the opening round. It's going to be one of those great years, I think, where I'm just going to chase points most of the time and do pretty average. The Dozers, you know, it's coming together. I still think they're not, they're a couple of players short of looking really good, but the Dozers, I mean, they were pretty average most of last year, so lovely for them to get a first up win, and especially behind some of those young players who obviously, you know, they've got their experience back line, which is looking nice, and Brody Grundy there, getting his debut game against the Dingoes. I'm sure he enjoyed that immensely. Again, probably two teams. The Dingoes obviously finished second overall for the year last year with a lot of luck and then went out in straight sets. The Dozers were down in eighth. I don't know what to make of either of these two teams either. So I feel like it was the Heroes, the Wildcards, and the Bucks are looking the goods. And then there's a few teams like the Scorpions and the Tass and the Titans that I'm like, not too sure about. But then these last four, I'm like, I really don't know what to do with them. They could go anywhere. So yeah. that's my gut right now.
Yeah. In terms of the ladder, I won't go into great detail because obviously we've not played one. But the top five are the Bucks, the Chargers, the Wildcards, the Dozers, and the Titans. And obviously that is, all that separates them is points. Being the back. All righty, let's jump across and have a look at the Super League. As I said, thank you very much, Dave, for doing the commission votes already. First game was the Phoenixes up against the Sons of God, and the Phoenixes won 146 to 121.5. A good score here for the Flashing Phoenixes. Joe Danaher getting 32. Riley O'Brien getting 22.5. McGrath and Harris Andrews doing well at back in the back line as well. The rest of the team was a little bit down. For the Sons of God, speaking of up and down, Charlie Curnow played quite well. Matt Rowell, 29 at centre. But Goldstein was probably the pick of the bunch for the Sons of God, getting 20.5 at ruck. For the commish votes, three for Danaher, two for O'Brien, and one for Goldstein.
Yeah, obviously Ben King, just a wrecking ball this week. The Sons of God were one of those crazy four teams that finished dead first last year in the Super League. But man, that is that's an ugly first week. And Ben King, again, has a lot to answer for there. Although, again, Ollie Wines and Humor Cluggage, just flip them around, Ben. Flip them around. You'd be great. Probably add about 20 points to your score. Probably still not quite enough to get the job done. And, man, Jai Clark at Tagger. Obviously, that was not a Hail Mary. You had a thing, and it flopped. So the Phoenixes, as you mentioned, man, a lot of passengers there, but they got the win. And yep. I guess that's all they can hang their hat on at the moment. Great back line. One of the best rucks in the league in O'Brien. And, man... Hopefully for Elise, she can keep the magic going. But the Sons of God, I'll have to do a bit of soul searching this week, that's for sure, because that's not good.
Yeah. The next game, Brawlers versus the Atoms. The Atoms got up here, 162.5 to the Brawlers, 158. For the Atoms, some decent scores here, mate. Max King getting 24 at key forward. Noah Anderson getting 35 at centre. Wanganeen Malira getting 21 at midfield. Took Miller getting 20 at rover. But Nick Flaston getting 16.5 at key back was also pretty good. For the Brawlers, Caleb Sarong getting the 46 really sort of bolsters the and inflates probably the Brawlers number. Other than that, Nick Larkey getting 19 at forward and Jared Witts getting 18 at ruck. For the commissioner votes, Sorong got 3, Anderson got 2, Wanganeen Malira got 1, and of course, Steve, because the Brawlers lost, that means it's rebuild time.
This is a pretty good losing score from the Brawlers, and man, if I mean, I know they were coming from a long way back, but Sorong would have had them Adams a little bit worried probably at certain points. I think Luke Jackson was doing okay and just keeping them in the game, but that was probably closer than they wanted after, well, particularly the Allen and Kelly really let the Brawlers down. They were very much in this game until those two came through and were pretty ugly. And Ryan Burton probably wasn't that great in the back line either, so that was all in the same game this afternoon. But the Adams had some very nice, very good midfielder performers there, and you know, Bailey Fritch kind of let him down a bit, but you know, we know that's par for the course. You got to roll with those forwards. But the Adams will be, they'll be ecstatic, given again. I've talked with Tyler many times after last year when, you know, it was so injury hit all the way and then still made it all the way to the prelim despite not having, you know, Darcy or Took Miller or his entire forward line last year, and like King and Fridge both out for the finals. And then what? How's this year started? Yep, no Darcy Parrish, no Sean Darcy, and then no Jack Sinclair either. So, and yet somehow they've managed to scrape through with a pretty decent score despite having some pretty big names missing and get the win. Yep. So they're pretty pumped.
For the next one, we have the Thylacines up against the Major Warriors. Big win here for the Thylacines, 182.5 to the Major Warriors, 136. Thylacines strong across the board. Nick Dacos getting 37 at centre. Goulden getting 21 at midfield. Cripps getting 23 at Rover. Back line of Powell and Martin, as in Nick Martin, also doing quite well. Oscar McInerney getting 20 at ruck. For the Warriors, Clayton Oliver getting 35 at centre was probably the standout for him. Van Ruin getting 18 at forward was also serviceable. But the ever-reliable Max Gawn getting 17.5 were the really the standouts for the Warriors. Their back line of Whitfield and Liam Jones really didn't do much, and Tom Liberatore did nothing at Tagger as well. In terms of the commish votes, we've got 3 for Cripps, 2 for Nick Dacos, and 1 for Oscar McInerney.
Yeah, the Thylacines, so much of last year, like it's very satisfying. I was just talking with Zach about it before we actually came on the podcast. I was like, just look at that lineup, mate. Where's the weak link? Don't really see it. You're looking like, you know, there's a few of those players who kind of came up with more average scores, you know, but nobody really had a bad game. Like the, even the ones who, you know, you might say, oh, Brayshaw only had 5 tackles. Peter Wright only scored 16 at key forward, but like, I wish I could say only scored 16 at key forward. Anyway, Thylacines will be very, very, very happy with this score. They, like last year, they basically clung to first place much of the year until they fell to 5th and then got knocked straight out of the finals. But that felt like they got lucky last year. This looks like a team that can actually,
it's going to cause some trouble.
It looks like a very solid team. So, and the Major Warriors, well, you know, maybe they weren't expecting too much straight up. Man, there's a lot of Bulldogs and Demons in that team. You notice that? I don't know what's with that. Like, it was like waiting the whole weekend for the Major Warriors score to actually have anything, and then the Bulldogs Demons game happened, and it was all happening.
Yeah.
But oh well.
Key forward of Jack Lacoucheus doesn't send Shutter down the spine, does it?
Yeah, it's always tricky with those, like, you know, small forward types. It's just that they're, you know, they're just a bit hit and miss, aren't they? And but you know, there'll be weeks where that works, and there'll be weeks where it doesn't. It's the same with Van Ruijen at the moment. You're just like, is he, like, he had a great game this week, obviously, with the 3. But like, is he there yet? It's like a miss, right, as well. You got these young guys who, you know, are about to, you know, probably be the next big thing, and it's like, are we there yet? I don't know. So you know, eventually Major Warriors, Van Ruijen will be, I think, amazing, but yeah, I'm not sure if we're there yet.
Mm. Next game was the Ashi Convicts versus Nexus. This traditionally is a bit of a grudge match. It was Nexus getting up here, 153.5 to the Ashi Convicts 138.5. For Nexus, certainly not something they're going to penciled in as one of their greatest ever scores and team scores. Luke Ryan getting 28 was good. Rory at key back, Rory led, getting 30 at centre. Matt Crouch getting 20 at Rover, and probably Cameron getting 22 at key forward were their standouts. For the Convicts, Zach Merritt getting 31 at centre. Flanders getting 21 at midfield. Mason Redmond getting 18 at midfield was probably the standouts. Josh Dunkley, also doing pretty well, getting 16 at tagger. For the commission on votes, Dave gave 3 to Ryan, 2 to Matt Crouch, and 1 to Josh Dunkley.
Yeah, you'd think with Sam Flanders coming on board, the Convicts would look a lot scarier, but I don't know. Obviously, Redmond and Sicily have both been rubbed out from the Convicts for next week, so it's not... Not the greatest start to the premiership defence for the Convicts, but I'm sure they'll be like they should be thereabouts. But they will want to right the ship a bit reasonably quickly. I think Nexus, it's similar. I get a similar feeling like where you know you've got two teams here who have been very good for a long time, both Nexus and the Convicts, and were obviously right up there last year, grand finalists. In the midst of all that very tight race home. I'm not convinced either of them are quite, well, I don't know if either of them look like they're about to dominate the league, you know, take the step up. They look more like, they, you know, they'll be about, but I'm like, I don't know. We'll see.
Yep. And the final game was the Farmtons up against the Marvels, and the Farmtons won 171.5 to the Marvels 149. Marvels were too strong. Sorry, the Farmtons were too strong, especially with Roadbottom getting 26 at tagger. Josh Kelly getting 24 at centre was also quite serviceable, but his forward line of Tom Jay and Harry Mackay, I think the Farmtons obviously missed Lynch all of last year, and we're sort of just treading water a little bit. But now that they've got those two back, it's really giving them a little bit more potency up forward, that is for sure. Rowan Marshall also getting 18 at ruck. For the Marvels, Tom Green, 37 at centre. Shizzle getting 23 at midfield. And also Eric Hipwood doing quite well, 24 at key forward. Excuse me, I'm yawning away. Sorry about that. In terms of the commissioner votes, we got 3 for Rowbottom, 2 for Tom Green, and 1 for Harry Shizzle.
Yeah, there's no doubt, man. When you look at that Farmtons lineup there, you got to feel like, man, this is the best Farmtons team I think I've seen in like maybe a decade, more maybe. I don't know. This should be a team that, I know it's kind of weird to say when a team went 5-13 last year, but this should be a team that it plays finals this year. Like they should be, like they look as good as anyone, given like the balance there. Maybe Josh Kelly, the Josh Kelly, Brad Couch kind of center rover thing. I'd like to think Crouch will have better games than even Josh Kelly. Josh Kelly is always, he's become way too selfless, you know. He's not about stats anymore. It's no good. But he's still does get the stats reasonably regularly, but I mean, that's about the weakest link. Like the Marvels, on the other hand, they have this amazing midfield, and then they just have this suspect almost everywhere else. But still playing Shai Bolton. Man, the Marvels love Shai Bolton. I don't know what's with that, but I don't think he even got drafted in the original league.
No, I don't think he did.
but okay. But yeah, wow. Farmtons. This is, man, what a great first up performance against their old rival, the Marvels. And I hope for the Farmtons' sake, it's been a long time since they had a team that was, you know, consistently strong.
Yep.
Apart from, you know, having a few good weeks here and there. So I hope they can keep it up for their sake, because it's been a long time.
It has been. similarly, the ladder, there's no point in real going through it, but in terms of the, how the top five is looking, the Thylacines are on top, followed by the Farmtoms. Then we have the Mighty Atoms, Nexus, and the Flashing Phoenixes. All righty, mate. So we've got a couple of comps which are kicking off. We've got the Champions League that that has kicked off. Won't necessarily go through the scores, but let's just have a look at what the groups are looking like. So Group 1, we have, or Group A, we have the Bucks, the Thylacines, the Atoms, and the Dozers.
That's looking like a toughish group. The Dozers, obviously, I mean, they cracked 150 and are still way behind everybody else after the first round. That's rough, eh?
Yeah.
So you feel like the Bucks and the Thylacines after the first week, after their massive scores, you think they are definitely, the Bucks obviously should be a front runner, and the Thylacines looking very good as well. The Atoms will certainly throw down the gauntlet as well. So the Dozers are going to have a tough run there, I think, but it should be an interesting battle.
Yeah. Group B, we have the Wild Cards, the Marvels, the Convicts, and the Titans.
Yeah, it's the poor Dozers that scored 150.5 in Group A, and like, yeah, Group B, there's only one team that scored like 1 point more than them. Apart from that, everybody else was lower, so that says everything you need to know about. Group B is looking a little weak. The wild cards are good. They had a first up win. That's great. I'd say the Convicts, who went down to the Wild Cards, are probably, you know, they'll turn that the ship around. But the Titans and the Marvels, I'm not sure. Well, they're going to have to prove themselves a little bit. They don't look too scary at the moment, and I guess that's the trick. If the convicts are meant to be the number one seed in this group, and they turned up round one and with the lowest score. So if the Convicts don't turn that around, that group's going to look pretty flimsy.
Yeah. Group C, we have the Heroes, the Phoenixes, the Scorpions, and the Sons of God.
Well, the Heroes should dominate this group. They look by far the best team. The Sons of God should be kind of the team to, you know, they'll be trying to keep the Scorpions and the Phoenixes at bay, but they were so bad in the first week that the Phoenixes have managed to sneak a very important win over the Scorpions. And if they can, well, I mean, really, I think it's going to be the Heroes and then whoever happens to win the scrap for second, which I'd still lean towards the Sons of God. Historically, they've been very, very good the last couple of years, so whereas the other two have been a bit more struggling. But, you know, that first week certainly throws a bit of a spanner in the works. So we'll see.
Yeah, it certainly did. Now, in Group D, we have the Brawlers, we have Nexus, we have the Dingoes, and then Natasa Adulterers.
Yeah, well, obviously, the Brawlers have been, I mean, they're still a bit of a riddle. They definitely were the top scoring team this week and dealt Natasa a pretty decent blow. Dingoes, again, tough loss to the Nexus this week. You'd think Nexus overall should be the better team and should be the one going through here. Natas looks like they're probably got a bit of work to do. It may come down to, you know, whether the Brawlers or the Dingoes, who's going to probably come up with a more consistent form. There's not much between the top three there. I'd still lean towards Nexus being the likely group winner, and then a matter of whether the Brawlers or the Dingoes can, you know, come through in second. Natas seems like, well, I don't know. Natas, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if they can right the ship. They've obviously got an incredible history, so, and a very proud history, so they will certainly not want to be thinking about any kind of rebuild, but, well, time will prove, I guess, how they're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. All righty. Let's kick over. Where are we to? So we're sort of flying through this one. Let's have a look at who's playing next week. All right. Let's start with the Super League, mate.
Cool.
We have the Phoenixes up against the Phantoms. This will be a cracker.
Yeah. Obviously, both two teams who did not make the finals last year who won this week. And it was obviously, if you remember last year, massive gap between the top five and everybody else, like four wins between fifth and sixth. So it was a huge. So the fact that the Phoenixes and the Phantoms have won in the first week is huge for both of them. The Phantoms looked far more impressive. The Phoenixes, you know, kind of got a bit lucky, I think. So I'm definitely going to back the Phantoms for the win here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to back the Phantoms as well. I really like their forward line. now that they've got Lynch back.
That said, you know, McKay will not be playing this week for the Phantoms, which is, remember, we've got buys this week. That said, yeah. You want to say, oh, McKay is not playing for the Phantoms. Let's check the Phoenix's forward line. Danaher and Cameron. Yeah, guess what? Brisbane's not playing this week. So, so we can have all sorts of fun and games in that matchup. All new forwards.
I've got a little bit of the write-up for the podcast. It's like you've got to think how much these buys are going to influence the ladder and the makeup of the finals. It's really going to stuff some people around. I can just see just when you're submitting your teams, everyone, just double-check and make sure that your team – and I'm going to be guilty of this as well, naming someone who's actually got a buy, but just be – just be careful who you do name, because I mean, if I notice it, I might reach out to you, but I'm not going to be. Yeah, it's you need to make sure yourself that you're not naming anyone that doesn't have a buy. Next game, mate, is the Thylacines up against the Ashy Convicts.
Well, it's a rough one for the Convicts here. They're obviously the defending title holders, and they've gone down in the first week, and now they've got to play the absolutely red-hot Thylacines minus Sicily and Redmond, who have already been rubbed out, who are starters for them last week. That's not good. I think the Thylacines might take the Convicts here. I reckon the Convicts are going to do a bit of a Collingwood Brisbane thing where you make the grand final and then you just suddenly suck for some reason.
I'm going to tip the Thylacines here.
Yeah, they were scary this week. I don't know. We'll see if they can keep it up, but
Next one, Sons of God versus the Major Warriors. Have to go the Sons of God here.
They're surely, after that first up effort from the Sons of God, surely they cannot lose to the Major Warriors, because, wow, that would really be, I mean, you know, losing to obviously a good team like Sydney is bad when you're Collingwood, but Brisbane losing to Fremantle, that's just no.
Especially when you kick the first four goals.
Yeah, well, that's just, what the heck? So Sons of God, I mean, they have to turn it around this week. Sorry, Major Warriors, but... Yeah, that would be a little bit, I'd be going too far.
Then we have the Brawlers up against Nexus. This will be an interesting game.
Brawlers would have beaten Nexus this week. So I think that's part of my questioning around, so Nexus would be, you know, pretty keen to, stamp their authority here and put the Brawlers, Brawlers were a bit unlucky. Put up a pretty decent score overall, and then but went down. I still feel like Nexus is going to get this win, though. Man, Brawlers be a bit rough if they put up another big score and go down again. Because it's some tough matchups to start the year for the Brawlers.
I'm going to tip Nexus to bounce back here. Next one is the Atoms versus the Marbles.
Well, I'll pick the Atoms because, you know, they were clearly, you know, despite all their injuries, they still seem to manage to keep winning. They were clearly a top five team last year, and the Marbles were certainly not. The Atoms won this week. The Marbles didn't. So it's hard to sort of turn around and pick the Marbles. So I'm sticking with the Atoms, although I still feel like half the time with all the Atoms injuries that, although I think, you know, maybe Sinclair might be back this week and... and Parrish isn't too far away, so I don't know. Maybe the Atoms are going to be okay, but yeah. So I'll pick the Atoms. Marbles were decent this week, so
yeah. There's
still no easy beats.
I'm going to go the Marbles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you never know. Shy Bolton, watch out.
Original League. First game is the Bucks versus the Dozers.
Bucks, Dozers, yeah. No one's picking against the Bucks. Not until they show there's actually a weak link somewhere. So, I mean, the Dozers got the job done this week, despite some passengers. But I think you'd be lucky to see any passengers on that Bucks team at the moment. I'm thinking that's all Bucks.
Then we have the Wildcards versus the Chargers. Wildcards. No, yeah. I always pick my Chargers.
Well, the Wild Cards, Like I said in the intro, I said I think there's three teams in my mind that I think are dead set top five certainties in the original league. Wildcards, I think, is one of those. If the Chargers come out and beat the Wildcards, we'll see. That would be a statement. I'm not sure if I'm prepared to go there yet. Wildcards.
Chargers for me, as I said, always tip myself. Heroes versus the Scorpions. This will be an interesting game, I think. I reckon the Scorpions might do this.
What? Where's that coming from?
I don't know.
Heroes are just like the team that finished first last year and put up 170 this week, and the Scorpions finished near the bottom and like lost badly to a not that good team. So where's your logic here? Because I've got some logic.
Dave likes to tinker. So I reckon he might tinker and it might work out for him.
Might accidentally work out. You're not going to mention the fact that McKay and Kerno are going to be on the bye for the Heroes? That's not part of your logic.
Well, that could be part of my logic as well. To be honest, I didn't even think about who his forward line was, but I'm thinking the Scorpions. That's my smoky for the round.
Well, I mean the Heroes. I mean they do lean on the Carlton. I mean, being Carlton supporters that they are, they do lean on the Blues. So this would be a very good week for the Scorpions to sort of steal one here. But it'd be rough for the Heroes to start 0-2 on the back of a bad bye kind of thing against the Scorpions here. But I don't know. It's a bit of a weird one. It's hard to measure. I don't know who he's got as his backup. I think I'll stick with the Heroes. I have faith in the Heroes' depth somehow.
Okay. Yep. Very cool. Then we have the Titans up against the Blue Flames. The Blue Flames should bounce back.
Yeah, I like the Blue Flames this week. I think the Titans look dodgy. They beat Natas this week. I could see that being their last win for a while. I think the Blue Flames.
Yep. And
Cameron and Lynch. Man, what a forward line.
Yeah, I know. And, of course, then that leaves Natas versus the Dingoes. Bit of a grudge match here.
Yeah, a bit of a grudge match.
Bit of history between these two.
Just a slight, a couple of decades. Well, the Dingoes have no ruck this week, so that's my sad reality, which I've known for a while. All I have to say is if Natas can't beat the Dingoes this week without McEnany scoring 20, then, Natas is in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
So putting it all in Natas here, you could probably score 132 this week, Cam, and you could get the win. But
it's all on black, is it?
Yep. So, Dingoes, no expectations whatsoever.
Fair enough, too. Yeah, Natas should be too strong, but as you said, without a ruck, and it will. The buys are going to hurt all of us through the year. It really will be. Cool. All righty. As I said, we sort of flew through tonight because it's obviously round one. We haven't got that much to speak about in terms of things. So, that's about it. I think the round kicks off again fairly soon. I don't know. Don't think there's a Thursday night game this week as I'm checking the AFL website.
Oh, no, there definitely is.
Oh, there is?
St Kilda. There's going to be Thursday night games for like...
There is too. I hate Thursday night games.
It's like, how many rounds do you have to go like, oh, wait, round 7 has a Wednesday night game because it's Anzac Day. But I guess that's
so. Is that the start of the round or is that the end?
That's the beginning is the Wednesday, the 24th. So, apart from that, though, man, it's just Thursday night, Thursday night, Thursday night. Just public service announcement. There is a Thursday night game every round until round 14, which again is actually not or 15, which are not actual AFR rounds.
No, and they're not.
Really, round 16 is the first week we have, which does not have a Thursday night game.
That sucks. I hate Thursday night games.
Yeah, you love the Thursday night games where you get just the Thursday team and then you're like trying to pick the rest of your lineup for the weekend and you don't even know who's been selected. And it's awful.
Yep, it's a shocker. It is a shocker. All righty. Steve, thank you very much. We will, of course, be back next week. Everyone have a fantastic week. And as always, thank you once again, Steve, for doing this. It's good to finally get this back together. This round out of the way, to be completely honest.
Absolute pleasure.
Sort of creeped up on me, to be completely honest.
How's your tipping go this week? Aren't you like 2-time defending champion in your workplace?
I am. Well, it's been running for 2 years, and I've run it twice.
I couldn't like that, mate. It should be like.
I don't think I did very well. I think in the first week I only tipped 2.
Oh.
And this week, to be honest, I don't know. I think
screwing us up.
Yeah, I think I tipped most of the favourites. Anyway, yeah, I'm not sure. Not sure. Cool. Alrighty, we'll be back. Everyone have a fantastic week. We'll chat to you all very, very soon.
See ya.